I am not a prophet, but I gave you the future. I am not a seer, but I saw what the future held. And it was this championship. I am not a man who makes predictions. I'm a man who keeps promises. MJF, not too long ago, a Grand Slam. You used everything within your power to steal from me my rightful championship. And you thought that somehow, some way, that I would be like the rest of the scumbags here in New York and appreciate you for what you do. No, MJF. No, Maxwell Jacob Friedman. What you do to me, I revisit upon you 1,000-fold. You embarrassed me. You cheated. And you used everything within your disposal to take this from me. And I turned everyone you loved against you. I showed up to your neighborhood in front of your friends and family. And I took everything from you. You may be a scumbag, MJF. And I'm a heartless son of a bitch. And in a world that is not big enough for men like you and I to occupy at the same time, I will always, always take what is mine. I am Samoa Joe. I am the AEW World Champion. And I will take everything from anyone who tries to take this from me.
Welcome into episode 365. Tonight we will be reviewing AEW Dynamite, along with the news of the wrestling world. With me tonight are Seth Zillman and Jarrett Aubrey. Fellas, how the hell are you?
Life is good right now. We're going to have two really cool shows to talk about. Obviously, we don't want to spend too much time on them, but I've been looking forward to this show for the last couple of days, so I'm excited that we're finally getting it done.
Well, I'm kind of waiting to throw in a little bit of input here, but it sounds like this is going to be the Seth show here with Wrestle Kingdom going on, and I'm going to sit back and enjoy the ride for a while.
Yes, we will get into Wrestle Kingdom, but before we do, Seth, wasn't this a two-night show? Did they cram it all into one?
Yes, they had been a two-night show for a couple of years, but it was announced last year in 2023 that the 2024 show would only be for one night. I don't know why they did it, but yeah, for a couple of years, it was a two-night event.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, Wrestle Kingdom 18 took place local time overnight in the morning. I believe it started at 1:30 Central. And apparently they felt like 95% of the titles needed to change hands, because they did. But before we get to the title,
that's happened at a Wrestle Kingdom, by the way.
Right, exactly. Before we get to that, we had an appearance by Nick Nemeth, formerly Dolph Ziggler, appears alongside his brother Ryan. They had ringside seats, I believe, during one of the tag matches. And then he got a little frisky in the post-show press conference. And I'm sure Seth will chime in on that in a moment. But here are the title changes. David Finlay defeated Will Ospreay and Jon Moxley to become the first ever IWGP Global Champion. El Desperado defeated Hiromu Takahashi to win the IWGP Junior Heavyweight title. The Gorillas of Destiny, Hikaleo and El Fantasmo, defeated Bishamon, Hiroki Goto, and Yoshihashi in a winners-take-all tag match for the IWGP Tag Team Championships and Strong Openweight Tag Team Championships. Tama Tonga defended Shingo Takagi Takagi?
The G, Takagi.
Thank you. To win the never open weight title, Hiroshi Tanahashi defeated Zack Sabre Jr. to win the NJPW World Television title. Now, I'm not sure if this is catch 22 or catch 2-2 or 2x2. Anyway, they defeated Bullet Club War Dogs of Clark Connors and Drilla Maloney to win the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team titles. And the big one, the G1 winner, Naito, defeated Sonata to claim the IWGP World Heavyweight title. Quick thoughts, Seth.
Yeah, it was a good show, top to bottom. Like I said earlier, it's not the first time most, if not all, titles changed hands at Wrestle Kingdom. It is their biggest show of the year. It's kind of their WrestleMania. And obviously no really bad matches. There's some comedy in the Battle Royal, but that's normal. The significance of the main event with Sonata defending against Tetsu Naito is they were part of the LIJ stable. Los Ingobernables de Japón. Sonata broke from that group. So this was kind of a master versus mentor story. That was the significance about it. And it also continued. I know you didn't say it in your rundown, but after the main event, Evil came out with his guys and jumped Naito. And Sonata actually came in to help. So it was like they earned each other's respect type of thing. So that looks to be the next program going on as Evil, who is also in LIJ, challenging for the title after this. So, yeah, a lot of good matches. I even liked three-way, even though I don't really care for three-ways. But I think most people figured that Finley was going to win because he is the current leader of Bullet Club. The faction is just called Bullet Club War Dogs, and the vast majority of them, I think, are fairly new to the stable. So hence why we got Bullet Club Gold in the States, War Dogs in Japan and such, but they're all under the Bullet Club banner. So, yeah, like I said, I look forward to Wrestle Kingdom every year. This didn't disappoint. So, yeah, I was very happy with what I watched.
Before the Wrestle Kingdom event took place, Bryan Danielson was interviewed in Japan, and it came up that after 2024, which he says is going to be his final full-time year, he's not going away. He plans to wrestle still, but only approximately 5 to 10 matches per year. We had been promised, so to speak, a big announcement from Triple H on tonight's 2024 preview show. And I guess he jumped the gun on himself because the big announcement turned out to be revealed earlier this morning. And it was the location and dates for WWE Money in the Bank taking place July 6th, 7th, and 8th that weekend, I believe. And the location is in Toronto. That's where we live. He said our name. He said Toronto. The weekend will include SmackDown on Friday, Money in the Bank on Saturday, and NXT Heatwave on Sunday, all in the same arena.
Yeah, I was about to ask, but how is it three? The Money in the Bank's going to be 3 days?
Yeah, no. Just three in Toronto. That was the big announcement. They did not have a big announcement on the preview show. Why they felt the need to jump the gun, I don't know. Triple H might want to be careful of that because of the whole Tony Khan overblowing and overusing the major announcement gimmick. But yet another international premium live event. So should be interesting. And we all know how the crowd is in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
Cheer certain favorites much?
I can't look at that or say that or read that without thinking that. So thanks, Rock.
That bit will never not be fun. Like, I'm going to be like 80 years old. I'm still going to be giggling at that bit. It's amazing. But what's surprising to me about that whole announcement is no Monday Night Raw.
I guess they're boarding a plane elsewhere. I don't know. Yeah. It was not included. When you got to go, you got to go. It would not surprise me if they were somewhere else within Canada for Raw, because otherwise it wouldn't make much sense.
Yeah, but hunch, just a knee-jerk reaction here, is maybe they had Raw booked before they finalized the location for the pay-per-view and such, so they just kept that Raw date and just set up the previous three. That's just my hunch. Obviously, none of us know.
Yeah, perhaps. Okay, moving on to AEW Dynamite. The show led off with the Samoa Joe promo that we led off with. And that was the only appearance from Samoa Joe on the whole night. So when they said we would hear from the champion, they were referring to pre-recorded comments from after the pay-per-view. Adam Cole and his cronies came out to start the show with new music and new group name, which the group is called the Undisputed Kingdom. And the theme is extremely similar to the Undisputed Era theme from NXT. They've already planted seeds for another Wardlow face turn, so get ready for that. Yay! And they have common enemies in both heels and babyfaces, basically all those who they took out in previous months with random beatdowns. The international champion Orange Cassidy defeated Dante Martin. This match was concluded and then followed up by the return of Private Party. Mark Quinn healed from his injuries, and they laid out a challenge and put the entire tag division on notice. The House of Black accepted the challenge of FTR, and they will face off at Collision this Saturday.
And didn't they announce that match previously? I thought they'd announced the match was going to happen this week already.
They could have. They're really flighty with announcing things versus running the promo in the correct order. It's weird. Mariah May defeated Queen Aminata in Mariah May's debut of her in-ring in AEW.
Yeah, back in the boo with the queen there.
Her celebration was short-lived, as we had the debut of the virtuosa Deonna Purrazzo, who is now All Elite. Christian Cage came out and gave his 2024 State of the Union, essentially mentioning everybody in the ring, which was Shayna Wayne, Nick Wayne himself, and barely mentions Killswitch at all. And they're building up this other pending face turn. And essentially doesn't even mention him or acknowledge him until the crowd won't stop chanting Luchasaurus. So then he snaps and says, his name is Killswitch. So that should be interesting. He basically tells Adam Copeland that he's 2-0 against him now, and he can move to the back of the line with everybody else.
Although I guess you could say technically it's 2-1, but.
Well, yeah, so. The heel's not going to acknowledge the loss. What are you kidding me?
Exactly, yeah.
Takeshita defeated Darby Allin by basically physically whooping his ass all over the ring. That was a extremely physical match.
And I really cringed at the rolling German suplex on the stage. That's like the big risk for short-term reward. I hate to sound like a old buzzard when I say that, but I saw that and I'm just like, they should not be doing this.
Excalibur had a great line during this match when Takeshita hit the Haluva kick, and he called it a hell of a kick. And I thought that was great.
Oh, come on now.
Yeah, it's spelled the same way. It's all about enunciation.
Yeah, I guess.
We had a Continental title eliminator match where I guess Eddie Kingston's going to be defending this title. It's not just what you get for winning the tournament. So I guess it is three separate belts. That's how, that's what he came to the ring to do commentary with. And I guess he's going to defend them all. One's an AEW belt, one's a Ring of Honor belt, and one's a New Japan belt. So, yay. Trent Barretta defeated Brian Cage, Brian Keith, and El Hijo del Vikingo to earn that shot against Eddie Kingston on Collision. And in the main event, Swerve Strickland defeated Daniel Garcia. After the match, Hangman Adam Page came out to brawl with Swerve. Thoughts on Dynamite?
Well, this was definitely the best Dynamite of the year so far. If nobody else is going to make that joke, I'd say it anyway. But yeah, good show top to bottom. I think we all figured that Adam Cole was the devil. He had that good line about, you know, if that makes me the devil, then I'm getting a first class ticket straight to hell. And as we also figured, the program with Swerve and Hangman is continuing. And the whole Christian promo was really good too, because what he did, for those that may not have seen it, is he was thanking everybody that was with him. And then he acts like he's going to thank Luchasaurus for giving him the Money in the Bank type cash in. He just says, I'm going to thank myself. And I think you could still see it in Killswitch's eyes there through the mask, that he was like, oh, really? And they did the same, like you said, they did the same exact thing almost in the first segment. So that is one of my pet peeves of AEW's, and really WWE's done it too. It's not exclusive to AEW, but when they basically have the same program running at the same time with multiple people. So, well, I don't think there was anything really bad on the show. Nothing really to complain about. And
you remember the reformation, the initial formation of Absolution and the Riot Squad at the same time, one on Raw, one on SmackDown? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good example, yeah. So we'll see what the rest of the week brings. And I'm intrigued to see who the next challenger is for Joe. I did like what he said in the press conference when he won the title. Somebody asked who he wanted to wrestle, and Joe said something to the effect of, well, who's your favorite wrestler? I'll kick his ass just for you then.
I played that line for Jarrett, that segment. Yeah, that. Yeah, I'll kick Hangman Adam Page's ass any day of the week. Swerve, he can come get some. Who's your favorite? Start calling them out. I'll whip all their asses.
I hope they feed him some borderline folks that wouldn't be top contenders, but you know, give Joe some wins, get some dominant smash wins, and then start kind of giving him the tougher opponents. Like, he's finally got a title. Let's make a run with it here for a while.
Yeah, good stuff. He's already advertised for the show next week, so I don't know if it's going to be a promo or we get an impromptu match. He doesn't have to defend every television show, but we just got over talking about how MJF was all over the place as the champ. So Joe's not that same type of character, so he's more methodical, and obviously he can cut a promo any day of the week on anybody, so that should be interesting as well.
I just hope he still has the belt when AEW rolls back into Winnipeg in mid-April.
Photo op.
Yep.
I would think there's a pretty good chance of that happening, because AEW usually doesn't hotshot their titles. Although, of course, they did over the past weekend, but this is their world title.
Yeah, the world titles usually have a lengthy reign. All right. Any other thoughts about Dynamite or the news items that we talked about?
Trying to add up all the days there, because if you talk even going from Friday, I guess, with SmackDown, there was SmackDown, then there was the AEW pay-per-view. I guess there wasn't any wrestling on Sunday, but then basically Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we all had big shows there too. So that's like six or seven major shows in approximately a week's time. That was a lot of wrestling to watch.
I was just going to ask if Adam Cole as a devil had a first class ticket. Was the devil going to go down to Georgia?
All right.
That's my contribution to the podcast. Right,
in future weeks, Jarrett will chime in with, well, I read that such and such. All right. Well, on our next episode, we will be going over SmackDown, Rampage, and Collision as we complete our first week of the new year with the new format. And don't worry, folks. We've gone over a little bit of our projected times here to keep things short, but only by a few minutes. We're knocking the rust off. We're testing things out. We will get better at it.
Yeah. And a new format takes getting used to when you're running it as well.
Right. You know, it's not like we have a 24-second shot clock and we're just going to be talking and all of a sudden, meh. Well, maybe we should. Who knows?
Don't bring pitch clocks into this.
All right. Well, until next time, thank you once again for listening, downloading, and subscribing. And we will talk to you next time. Thank you for listening to this episode. You can subscribe to the Wrestling Brethren podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, or wherever you get your podcast fix to hear the latest discussion from the Wrestling Brethren. You can visit us at twbpodcast.com for posts and episodes. Visit the mothership, if you will, at behindthesquaredcircle.com, home of the Behind the Squared Circle podcast network. Let us know your thoughts, questions, and comments on Twitter at twbpshow, on Facebook at facebook.com/behindthesquaredcircle, and on Instagram at The Wrestling Brethren. You can follow Jarrett on Twitter at The Bacon Rev. You can follow Seth at Lord Xandrax. And you can follow Josh at Southpaw Josh. Thank you again for listening, and we will talk to you again soon with more from The Wrestling Brethren.